In last week's parasha, in the context of a forbidden relationship, to the parasha of the Arayos, so the Torah tells us not only should one not engage in relations with this list of individuals, but you shouldn't even come close to engaging in relations. And there's a similar pasuk with regards to the nida, where the pasuk says, "Va'isha benidas tumasa loy sikraf." Not only should not have relations with the nida, the mist of her tumah, but you shouldn't even come close to doing so. And the Avos Rav Nosson over here is Aleph. Derives from here that it's important to make a siyog l'toira. Clearly, the main focus is having relations. Well, you know, the prohibition is one is not allowed to have relations with this list of individuals, but one is obligated to make extra precautions. Vasu siyog l'toira, and we find in fact the Torah is making a siyog l'toira because the Torah said loy sikravu l'galay zerva. You should not only have relations with these individuals, you shouldn't even come close. And the officer of Nasan includes within that even chibuk v'nishuk yochol yichab kenav yinash kenav yidab yimad var b'teilim. You might think you could have the relaxed conversations and have chibuk v'nishuk hugging and kissing. Yochol tishin imo v'bigda al hamito, or maybe sleep together in the same bed, meaning other forms of touching. You might have thought these are permitted. No, they are prohibited as well because by virtue of the pasuk of loisikrivu l'gad loiserva, even though that seems to be precaution. We find a similar pasuk in the context of the Arayos in last week's parasha of Ushmartem es Mishmarti, where the pasuk says, including pasuk in the parasha, you should make guardrails for my mishmaros, for my guardrails. So the Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos and Daf Chaf Aleph derives from here that Chazal of the liberty, the license to add to the list of Arayos. Right, the Torah lists a number of individuals you're not supposed to have relations with, but the Chazal expanded that list to include other relationships as well, a little bit more distant. So, grandparents or, other arayos as well, which are known as shnios larayos. But what gives Chazal the right to add on to the list of prohibited relationships with additional relationships? It's known as shnios larayos. So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, Ushmarta mishmarti, asu mishmeres mishmarti. We have an obligation to make precautions around the things that we're obligated to keep, namely the mitzvahs of the Torah. And that's what gave Chazal the liberty to make shnios larayos. Now, of course, this same license extends to other areas as well, not only Arayos. So I say Siyagot Torah is the opening mission of Meshechtas Avos. We have to make precautions around the mitzvahs of the Torah, some personal, some communal. What gives us the license to do this on a communal basis? Personal basis, I can do whatever I want, but I, make my own precautions. But on a communal basis, what gives Chazal the right to establish these kinds of gzeros, not to do this, lest it will lead to that? So it's all based on this pasuk. Shmartim is mishmarti, asu mishmeres mishmarti. The Chazal have the obligation to set up communal boundaries and precautions to protect the mitzvahs of the Torah. That applies in all areas of halacha, yet it's found, the source material is found over here in the context of the Arayos. So we have in the context of the Arayos, the sikravu l'gad loiserva. We have in the context of the Arayos, shmartim is mishmarti, asu mishmeres mishmarti, the obligation to make extra precautions, extra guardrails. And I think that even though this applies outside of the context of the Arayos, it appears specifically here because this is one of the most sensitive areas of Judaism and sometimes the most, transgressed. And therefore, it's important specifically here. Of course, we need to do this elsewhere too, in Shatnez also, in Shabbos also, don't do this, lest it lead to that. But, Machalas Asuras too, but the primary material, only the source material is found here with regards to Arayos, because it's in this very sensitive area that in every generation, particularly in our generation, right, where this is, there's great liberties that are taken in this area, it's important for us, individually and communally, to embrace this idea of leisikravu l'galos erva, that we should have to be careful to set up guardrails, asu mishmeres mishmarti. However, there is somewhat of a dispute in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos how to interpret this Avos de Rav Nosson. When the Avos de Rav Nosson said that leisikravu l'galos erva comes to include not only relations itself with the list of these individuals, but even chibuk v'nishuk and other forms of touching, so is that a inclusion midoraisa, or is that only like a siyag, a precaution midorabanan? Like a gzera, don't do this, lest it will lead to that. That's clearly midorabanan. Shnios la'arayos adorabanan. Is this come to include an iser deraisa of chibuk v'nishok and of other forms of touching? It wouldn't be surprising if it would. I mean, it would be surprising. It wouldn't be unprecedented, because we have other times where the Torah itself makes precautions. Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Sefer Lekach Tov collects a few times where we used to think about precautions as a din derabanan. Sometimes the Torah itself imposes precautions. We just had on Pesach, so the Ran at the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim writes that the reason why with regards to chametz we have an iser bal yirah bal yimatzei. Not only not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to own chametz or to see chametz. So it's not that the Torah independently assered or, you know, owning chametz or seeing chametz because those are inherently wrong. It's because chametz on Pesach is kares. So in order to protect us from being nichshal on chametz, which we're accustomed to eating all year long, so the Torah itself already imposed a siyag d'oraisa, a precaution d'oraisa that you shouldn't even own chametz on Pesach. But the Ran writes at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim that in fact is a din d'oraisa that, you know, by Rabbi Matzah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but that concept that is coming just to protect the eating of chametz, is the definition of Bali Rabbi Matzah. So that itself creates this dynamic that you have a siyag d'oraisa, you have one mitzvah that's really just coming to protect another one, but that was already imposed by the Torah itself. So is this, you know, another example of that, of Losikavu Legalos Erva, is a siyag, yes, is there to protect, you know, having relations, right? A precaution lest you come to have relations with these individuals, but that itself might be a precaution midday raisa. So Yosef Engel mentions this as a possibility. This is on that list. And indeed, that's one opinion in the Gemara, that Losikavu Legalos Erva, Chibuk, Venishk, and other forms of touching are in fact an Iser midday raisa. The Gemara there, Masechta Shabbos, Gimel Amud Aleph, is searching for the source, you know, or discusses whether or not it's prohibited for a husband and wife to sleep together in the same bed while she is in Ida. It's known as one of the harchokas. Other than the husband and wife being together intimately, they're not allowed to engage in other forms of touching or interaction. They're limited, lest it will lead them, you know, of course, to have relations. So one of these harchokas, these things that the husband and wife practice, is separating themselves while the wife is in Ida, you know, there's passing things to one another and touching one another, and included in that is sleeping in the same bed. So the Gemara at the beginning seems to assume that we're dealing with an isim and d'oraisa, because based on the pasuk Sefer Yecheskel, where the pasuk links someone else's wife together with your wife while she's in Ida, as Eishes Re'ehu loy tame vel isha nida loy yikrov, from the fact that it puts the two together in the same pasuk, makish isha nida loy Eishes Re'ehu, ma Eishes Re'ehu hu bevigda vehi bevigda also, just like someone else's wife to sleep together in the same bed is certainly be wrong, so af ishtay nida hu bevigda vehi bevigda also, that's also prohibited. And it sounds like it's prohibited midday raisa. Then the Gemara goes on to quote the opinion of Rabbi Pedas, who disagrees. The Torah only assert kurva of gilei arayis itself. Chibuk v'nishik and other forms of touching are not asur midday raisa. It might only be midday rabbanon. Shenamar ish al kol she'er b'sara le'sikav l'galas erva is only gilei erva mamish. Is engaging relations itself. However, other chibuk v'nishuk, hugging and kissing, and other forms of touching is only asur midei rabbanan. So the husband and the wife, while she's in need to sleep in the same bed, is wrong, but not asur midei raisa, but only asur midei rabbanan. That was the opinion of Rabbi Pedas. But it sounds like it's a machlekes in the Gemara. Is this asur midei raisa, or is it asur midei rabbanan? And this plays out as a machlekes in the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam in Hilchos Issurei Bia, Perek Chaf Alef Halacha Aleph, writes, Kol Haba al Erva min arayis derech evra moshchibuk v'nishuk derech taiva. If a person has chibuk v'nishuk, or he enjoys some other kind of physical interaction, so then it is an iser d'oraisa, as the pasuk says, lo yisikrevu l'galus erva, you shouldn't come close to being megala erva, kloyma lo yisikrevu l'dvar ma'avim l'dei gilui erva. You shouldn't come close to doing things that bring l'dei gilui erva. And the Rambam counts this in the Minyan HaMitzvahs as a separate iser, not only not to have relations with one of the arayas, but over here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Leis HaSeishin Nun Gimel, he says he runa mikirav la'achas mikol arayas va'afilu b'loy bi'ah, even without relations itself, kugon chibuk v'nishuk, hugging and kissing, va'adoyim alehem, or to something that's similar to it, mi pa'ulos haznus, from those interactions that can be labeled as znus interactions, meaning it could lead l'idei znus, that already is a separate prohibition in the Torah, and the Rambam counts in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says certainly these are prohibited, but only midrabanan. Ein adavar kein, she have a krev hashem b'gidei arayas, kugon chibuk v'nishuk lavu malchus. Rabban feels that it's not aser midei raisa, certainly it's aser midei rabbanan, but only midei rabbanan, and therefore it shouldn't be counted independently in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. What is aser midei raisa? Gidei arayas mamish, relations. But anything that's short of that is not aser midei raisa, it's only aser midei rabbanan, a precaution, midei rabbanan, like shnios l'arayos, but not aser midei raisa. The Rambam feels that indeed it is aser midei raisa. And we find a difference between them, not only in terms of Minyan HaMitzvahs, that's generally an academic issue, but with regards to extenuating circumstances. Meaning, of course, it's aser, right? Gilei arayis mamish, that's the relations itself, of course, is aser. L'sikavu l'galus erva, the Torah says you shouldn't come close. That includes chibuk v'nishuk and other forms of touching. That's a siyag, but is that siyag a siyag d'oraisa? Is that siyag a siyag midrabbanan? Is that precaution d'oraisa? Only the rabbanan is machlokes in the Rambam and the Rabban, and there's a difference between them with regards to extenuating circumstances. Beis Yosef and Hilchos Nida. Simin Kuvtzari Hei Sif Yodzayin over here, Ois Hei, quotes from the Trumas Hadeshin, who was asked about a man whose wife is in Nida, but she was a chayla, and she needed a doctor to take her pulse. L'mashish lo ha-defek. Defek means defika. Defek al-adelas means knocking on the door. So it means the knocking of her heart, meaning the pulse. He needs someone to take her pulse. So in order to do it, he's going to have to touch her body. So, and there's no doctor around to do it. Can the husband do it? He's not allowed to touch his wife when she's in Ida. Or sick of l'galas erva, can he violate this because she's a chayla? Maybe a chayla she'yesh ba-sakana. So the Truma Sadeshna says, well, according to the Ramban, they were only dealing with Nisim Midrabban, and yes, he can violate Nisim Midrabban to take care of a chayla she'yesh ba-sakana, a chayla who's in a life-threatening situation. What about according to the Rambam, that we're dealing with Nisim Midrabban, so then maybe the husband cannot take care of the wife. Why? Because even though she's b'makom sakana, we're dealing with an isim d'araisa that's related to gilui arayos. And of course, not gilui arayos is one of those three mitzvahs that is yaharig val yavar, but not only gilui arayos mamish is yaharig val yavar, you have to give up your wife rather than violate gilui arayos. Anything that's related to gilui arayos as well, in the same parasha, under the same umbrella, you also have to give up your wife rather than violate what's known as abizraihu to gilui arayos. It's related in the same parasha, the same topic as gilui arayos. That's quoted over here by the Ramah. And Yeridesim Kufnun Zain Sif Aleph says Ramah that Gila Raisa Vadizar Shvichos Damim, you have to give up your life rather than violate those of Averos. But not only those of Averos Mamish, even if it's just a Lav Bialma, even if it's not the primary Issa which carries with the Misas Bezdin or Kares, even if it's just a related Issa, but it's a Lav Bialma, Tzarech Leharig Veloy Lava. You have to give up your life rather than violate that Issa. The Shach explains over here, it's based on the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin, maybe you came across the Gemara. The Gemara there tells a story, a man who became infatuated with a certain woman. He became lovesick with her. The only takana that he'll have in order to overcome this lovesickness is to have relations with her. So, you know, are we going to allow him to have relations with her in order to free himself of this, you know, otherwise he's going to die out of lovesickness if he won't be able to be with her. No, let him die rather than have relations with her and violate Gilui Arayos. What if the doctors, though, told him, no, you know what, it could be Tamil, the fun of Aruma, if she just stands before him unclothed, he'll also be, it will also solve the issue. Or even if they just have a conversation, they have a conversation from, around the fence, a private kind of intimate conversation, that itself will free him of this lovesickness. So can we do that in order to save him from what seems to be a sakanas nefashos? Mar says, no, yimos, let him die rather than violate one of these related isurim. Now, we're not talking about gilui arayos mamish now. We're not talking about having relations itself, but something that's related. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, it's yahareg val yavar. He has to give up his life rather than violate those related isurim. So even if we're not dealing with gilui arayos mamish, we're dealing with something that is related to gilui arayos. What's known as abizrayu to gilui arayos, that is also yahareg val yavar. So getting back, the Beis Yosef said, if you have a nida, who's a chayla, and who's going to take her pulse? She's a chayla, she yesh b'sakana. Who's going to take her pulse? It's only the husband. So is he allowed to take care of her? Well, she's a chayla, she yesh b'sakana. So if, lo sikav l'galus erva, touching one of the arayos is only us midrabanan, we could envision being mekel. B'makom sakana sefashos. But according to the Rambam, that we're dealing with an isa midaraisa that's related, that's out of a fear that will lead to gilui arayos, so that should be considered an abizraihu to gilui arayos, and that itself should be yaharig val yavar, and the husband cannot take care of the wife while she is in Ida. That seems to be the way it shakes out according to the Beis Yosef. And it seems like the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. Look down, Oizayin, Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kufzari, Hei Siftet Zayin. Shulchan Aruch says, Isha Chayla Vehi Nida. Now, to be honest, it doesn't say that she's a Chayla Sheyesh Basakana. Maybe she's a Chayla Sheyesh Basakana. She's not in a life-threatening situation, which generally entitles you to violate Isurim Derabana, not Isurim Deraisa. So maybe we're dealing with a Chayla Sheyesh Basakana. Maybe it could be. So Isha Chayla Hinida, also the Bible legal Bakadegu Shamsha, the husband can, but presumably he's talking about a Chayla Sheyesh Basakana, because he doesn't distinguish, right? So it sounds like it's all Chaylim, no matter what her status is. Also the Bible legal Bakadegu Shamsha, the husband cannot touch her in order to take care of her. And Baila Raife, if the husband is a doctor, also the Mashish Lahadefik, he cannot take her pulse. Sounds like even if she is a Chayla Sheyesh Basakana. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says this is only provided that there's someone else to take care of her. If Mas says in the brackets, there's no one else to take care of. There is no woman who could take care of her. So then, if she desperately needs him, she's a chayla sheyesh basakana. Maybe even if she's a chayla sheein basakana, then we'll be permitted for another man, or maybe even the husband, to take care of his wife. Certainly, if she's a chayla sheyesh basakana. And the Ramah reiterates this again, second line, if she needs him, The mishamishlo to take care of her kol she came the mutter gusham gumashishlo. The effect only the husband can take her pulse. The main right for achav and tzuichai love if she needs him and there is no other doctor. V'yesh sakana b'cholya and there is sakana in her illness. So it sounds like we are discussing a cholya she'yesh b'sakana, a life threatening illness, and yet the Shulchan Aruch refuses to allow the husband, presumably another man also, to take her pulse. It would have to be a woman in order to take care of her. And the Rama disagrees. Rama says no, that certainly another doctor could take care of her. Maybe, and the husband as well, certainly if there is a makom sakana, they can both take care of her. So it can be allowed. So the Shach over here disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, but not only disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch in that he paskins like the other view, he disagrees that the Shulchan Aruch misapplied doesn't have a source within the Rambam itself. Meaning even according to the Rambam, who holds the sikavu legalos ervas and isim midoy raisa and is related to gilei arayas, here in taking care of a isha chayla, it should be allowed. Even if losikavu legalos ervas normally is up as rather gilei rasi hagval yavor, here in taking care of a chayla, it should be allowed. Why? Because chaver look back at the language of the Rambam in hilchos isurei bia perachaf aleph halacha aleph. The Rambam writes that when is chibuk v'nishuk aser o shechibek v'nishek derech taiva. If it's in a way that I would translate it as lustful or passionate. Derech taiva, v'nena b'kiruv basar. He enjoys physically the interaction. So harez elokim en ha-Torah. Then he gets malchus. So when is it also? So for the Ramban, it's also in the Rabbanim, which is important, by the way. But b'makom chayli, sheyesh b'sakana, certainly we could overlook that or overcome that. What about, according to the Rambam? So even according to the Rambam, which is an Issa d'Oraisa, and related to Gilei Arayas, it's only usur derech taiva, in a lustful, passionate fashion, where you nenem ikiruv basar. You enjoy the physical interaction. Similarly, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs uses similar lashon. The Rambam writes, kegon chibuk v'nishuk v'adoyim alahem mipu'ulois haznus. Something similar, which is an activity that leads to znus. Meaning something that's normally on that, this activity usually leads to znus, the chibuk v'nishuk at the beginning of the ma'aseh znus. But it's not something, chibuk v'nishuk in isolation, which are not related to necessarily chibuk or other kinds of physical interactions, they're not related to znus at all, then it sounds like for the Rambam, we wouldn't be dealing with an iser midday raisa. We wouldn't be dealing with an iser midday raisa. So look, Rabbi said, the Shach, in the end of voice above, three lines from the bottom, mikol malka mashma, the after Rambam will come out because it's a chibuk v'nishuk derech chibas bia. It's only usher if it's derech chibas bia. So that language of chibas bia or derech chiba comes from the Shach. You don't find that language in the Rambam. Most people attribute that language to the Rambam. It's only usher derech chiba. That language comes from the Shach, and it's not even derech chiba. It's derech chibas bia. It's something that's affectionate that will lead to bia. So chiba could mean affectionate. Chibas bia means that it's going to lead to bia. So it's affection that leads to bia that's usually translated as kind of a passionate or lustful kind of interaction. We find in many places, we find that the Amorim sometimes kissed their daughters, their sisters, which was affectionate but not lustful, and therefore was permitted. If there's a desire there, right, he's craving something, v'chibas bia, and something that could lead to bia. And the Shach reiterates that as well over here. Zion later on Hilchos Nida ve'Einira. He disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch ve'Einira. The Vade Afla Rambam like the Isa Daraisa Kshoisa Kain Derech Taiva v'Chibas Bia. It's only Yasser if it's Derech Taiva, if it's lustful. Ma'ashein Kain Hacha. And the Shach claims that's the Minhag Ha'Olam. Rabbi said that's the Minhag Ha'Olam. Is people go to doctors of the opposite gender? Certainly is permitted. And the Shach says ve'Chein Haminhag Poshut. People go to doctors all the time of the opposite gender. Not only when there's a life-threatening situation, by the way, even when it's not a life-threatening situation. Jewish doctors take the pulse of non-Jewish women, even an ish, even though there are other doctors. We don't send them to other doctors, only when there's no one else. We assume that it's permitted. Even if it's a chayla she'ein bo sakana, even if it's not, there's no formal danger here, it's another kind of illness, another kind of need, it doesn't even sound like you have to be a chayla at all, it would be permitted as long as it's not derech taiva v'chibas bi mikol mokom. But ein sakana, says the Shach, if there's no sakana, it's still permitted for a doctor to take care of her, another man, also the bailo mashu shal defek. The husband shouldn't be the one taking her pulse, kishi nida. If she's a nida, because then there's harchokas, because, right, they have already a previous relationship of intimacy, so one thing could lead to another, if he's going to start, engaging with her, even in a medical way. So better for her to see another doctor rather than the husband, assuming that it's a chodesh she'ein bo sakana. if she desperately needs the husband, of course, the husband can intervene and take care of her. But if it's something that's aimed by sakana, better for her to see, you know, someone who does, she doesn't have an intimate relationship with. But it sounds like from the Shach, any kind of medicinal activity is permitted. If it's in that context, is permitted. Why? Even according to the Rambam, because it's not derech taiva v'chibas bia. It's not something that is lustful or passionate, and therefore it can be allowed. If we want to justify the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, right, the Shulchan Aruch said, no, even though the wife is in sakana, the husband, or presumably any other man, can't touch her. You know why? Because L'sikav L'galas Erev is an isim d'arayis related to Gilui Arayis, and it's Yaharig V'Yavor. So that doesn't seem to hold water even within the Rambam. Right? The Ramban held the whole thing was only midrabanan, which we could be lenient. B'makom chayli sheish b'sakana, even chayli sheim b'sakana. But the even according to the Rambam, it's only us with derech taiva v'chibas bia, in a lustful and passionate fashion. Over here, this is a medical. This is very technical. This is very mechanical. This isn't even affectionate at all. Why should it be us to midrais and yahari v'yavar? So if we wanted to justify the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, it's probably not based upon the language of the Rambam, but rather upon Rabbeinu Yoina and the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yoina and the Shari Tshuva writes, Kol kiruv basar aser, kigoyin negi bidei eshes ish. All forms of physical interaction are prohibited because of a sikuv l'galus erva. And he doesn't stipulate that it's only if it's derech taiva v'chibas bia. He says even touching the hands of an eshes ish is prohibited. Because you're going to be megala, it's going to uncover something which should normally be covered, and this will lead lidei gilui erva. It's coming close to being megala, erva. But here Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't limit it to derech taiva v'chibas bia. It sounds like across the board it will be prohibited. So maybe the Shulchan Aruch is not working off the language of the Rambam, the opinion of the Rambam, but rather off the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. But what emerges then is we really have three opinions in Mishnah. We have the Ramban, who feels that it's also midrabanan, and therefore in extenuating circumstances like Chayu Sheyesh V'Sakan, we could be lenient. We have the opinion of the Rambam, who holds that it's Dairais and related to Gilui Arayis itself, and therefore, in theory, could have been Yarek V'Yavor, but the Rambam stipulated it's only Derech Taiva V'Chibas Bia, because it could lead Lidei Gilui Erva. That's why it's also in the first place, is because it could lead to relations itself, so it's only something that, you know, leads in that direction. And then we have so in which case, if it's a medical personnel, you know, taken in that kind of a context, it should be allowed. And then we have Rabbeinu Yoina, the third opinion, which sounds like across the board, any form of touching is independently prohibited. And maybe therefore we could say even b'makom sheyesh b'sakana be prohibited to violate this is of leisikrevu legalas erva be yaharig val yavar. The Shach already noted though that the minig is to be ankle, right? Everyone goes to doctors. Some people might have a preference of going to a doctor of a specific gender, right? A woman might prefer going to a female doctor, men might prefer going to a male doctor. That's a sensitivity issue, and that's a very understandable sensitivity, and we don't have to, you know, there's nothing wrong with that sensitivity, very healthy sensitivity. Fine, okay, if you have that sensitivity, that's great. But halachically speaking, we'll be permitted to see a doctor, even of an opposite gender, and it's not only b'makom sakana, when there's, you know, there's extreme danger, even for another, and not even when you're a chayli, a formal, you know, sick person, any medical need, you know, dermatologist or, you know, allergist, or all these kinds of things, we permitted you to see a doctor of another gender, because it's not derech taiva v'chibas bia, and therefore we presume that it is permitted. However, the issue of shaking hands, you know, in a professional environment, which is something that comes up for almost everyone who's in the workforce, is somewhat more of a sensitive issue. Generally speaking, we follow the Shach, not like the Shulchan Aruch, but here, shaking hands is not a mechanical, technical, medical procedure thing, like taking the pulse. There is a kind of more of a greeting, affectionate, friendly side to it, and therefore, it's somewhat of a harder issue to navigate than, you know, going to see doctors of a different gender. So one of the places we deal with this is the Stifler, quotes the name of the Chazon Ish over here in his letters, the Krayin D'Igrasa, where he seems to echo Rabbeinu Yoina that B'davar Nesinas Yal Isha Ein Safek Hu Iser Gamar, certainly an Iser D'Raisa, they call Kreva Le'erva Asura, V'ayim Mishay Marna Chazon Ish, Shom Shazel B'din Yahari Val Yavar Kukol Ab Israel De Gilei Arayis. This is related to Gilui Arayis, so Sikafu L'Gavus Erva, and therefore it should be prohibited. So, and even Yahari Val Yavar. So all shaking hands should be Yahari Val Yavar. I would have said, or it sounds like ostensibly, he's following the opinion of Rabbeinu Yoina. However, from the same camp of the Stipur and the Chazon Ish, also from Bnei Brak, from that same Tkufa, same school, is Rabbi Yamin HaTzadik. That's Rabbi Yamin Zilber, and his Truvas Az Nibiru. So he explains a little bit more of this view, and I think he tips his hand a little bit of a different direction. He explains that, or he compares, he says, what's the difference between hugging bodies and hugging hands? So he sees hand shaking as a hug of the hand. So he said, if you're going to allow hugging hands, people are going to start hugging bodies. Now, it could be he didn't understand the context and the purpose of shaking hands is just like a sterile greeting, a generic greeting in professional environments. So maybe you could say, well, he didn't live in the professional world. He didn't know the connotations of shaking hands. And that's why he compares hugging bodies to hugging hands. But I think he's a lot more astute than that. He might have understood it, but he writes, well, if we're going to allow shaking hands, then as a greeting, that will lead to allow permitting social kissing too, because there are certain cultures, particularly European cultures or societies, where the way that they greet each other is not with shaking hands, but it's with a social kiss, like a peck on the cheek or something that's along those lines. So he says, if we're going to allow shaking hands, we're going to allow that. If you're going to allow that, so then the slippery slope is a very real thing. If we're going to start allowing people to shake hands, it's going to lead to social kissing. We're going to allow social kissing, then all of a sudden we're going to have this belief prevailing within our community that somehow this is some chumrah of not touching people who are otherwise arayos. They're going to come up with a term called shomer negiyah, as if this is something that's optional and not something that's fundamental to Yiddishkeit in the pasuk of Osikru v'legalo serva. And unfortunately, I think we've seen that materialize in our times, is that because it permitted one thing that led to another thing, all of a sudden people think that young people of opposite gender touching each other gratuitously is somehow permitted, which is a total distortion. Of course, that's prohibited. So I think there is a real concern here that one thing could lead to another and lead to another, and the slippery slope is certainly very real. And those who follow this view believe that we understand where they're coming from and why they view it as a very grave isser, perhaps even bordering on Yahareg Val Yavor. And even if there is some sort of overarching concern of Kavadah Brios, if someone even sticks out their hand to shake your hand, this school would not allow you to respond in shaking their hands, even though it might be embarrassing to the other party. They bring it, or to yourself, they bring a proof. The Ben Ish Chai brings a proof to this from Sefer Chassidim, from the period of the Rishonim, Yehuda Chassid, where he writes over here, Ois Yod, Lo Yit Ka Yehudi Yodo Bekaf HaNochris, a Jew should not shake the hand of a non-Jewish woman, Vo HaNochris Bekaf Ish Yehudi, and she shouldn't shake the hand of a Jewish man. Vo Yehudis Bekaf HaNochris, Vo HaNochris Bekaf Yehudis, or the other way. I'm not sure why he feels the need to spell out all the permutations, but all of these things are Aser. Afo Pisha Yad Mutefes Bebeget, even though you're wearing a glove, right, there's a glove here, that doesn't help, he's still shaking hands. Siog L'Gili Arayis, as a boundary of precaution, lest it lead to Gili Arayis. Why does he mention, though, you shouldn't, which is already interesting, right? Already shaking hands was known at the time as Rishayim, and he says you shouldn't do it. So that's already a support. But why does he say, give the example of a Jewish man shaking hands with a non-Jewish woman, or a non-Jewish woman shaking hands with a Jewish woman shaking hands with a non-Jewish man? Why doesn't he give the, what's more the obvious example of a Jewish man shaking hands with a Jewish woman? Why not say that? So the Ben Ish Chai is first in the language of Sefer Chassidim, because we're talking about where they initiated. See, a Jew knows the custom in our community that men, people of opposite gender don't shake hands. They don't touch for no reason. Because one thing lead to another, lead to another. So he didn't give that example because it didn't happen. He's talking about an example over here where they didn't know the Nimos, they didn't know the custom by Jews, and they stuck out their hand. And nonetheless, the Sefer Chassidim says you should not respond in shaking their hand in return. So that's why the Ben Ish Chai derives from here, that you shouldn't even respond, even if the other party sticks out their hand. There is a famous maisa in the 1970, when Rav Avadia Yosef received the Israel Prize for all of his work, and he was a Sephardic chief rabbi, contributed so much to the state of Israel, but also, of course, to Limud HaTorah and all of his Sfarim that he published. So he received the Israel Prize, and he was greeted by Golda Meir. And Golda Meir, on that occasion, now, again, I don't know. I didn't live at this time. The Golda Meir is a little bit before my tkufa, so I don't know what the temperature was like between the prime minister and the chief rabbi. I presume she knew about the sensitivities of the Haredi community, so I assume she did so knowingly. But she stuck her hand out to shake his hand. Presumably, she wasn't naive. She knew that might not go over well, and Rabbi Yosef did not return shaking her hand, and it created a huge commotion in the press. that Rabbi Yosef insulted the prime minister by not shaking her hand. Now, she might have done it, lakanta. I mean, she did it knowing that this would evoke a response. And also there were, you know, a lot of eyes trained on Rabbi Yosef, who was this, you know, Sephardic chief rabbi, Major Paisik. If he would shake her hand, that would, you know, create waves in the Haredi community. So, you know, there's obviously much more at play here than just this situation. But just, you know, the situation, and, you know, if we would even take it out of the context, the very fact that she stuck out her hand, Rabbi Yosef didn't feel was, you know, didn't require him to respond, even though she might have done it, you know, deliberately antagonistically, which also was important, but she should have known better, right? But even if not, Rabbi Yosef felt that there wasn't a need to respond, perhaps based on this Sefer Chassidim. Rabbi Moshe, though, Nigros Moshe, at least in theory, proposes a different approach. He has three tshuvas about it. And one tshuva, he says, no, for sure, it's prohibited. Shaking hands. And another tshuva, Rabbi Moshe says, he understands why there are those who are lenient, because they feel that shaking hands is not derech taiva v'chibas bia. Yes, it might be affectionate. It might even be, you know, a friendly gesture, but it's not a passionate gesture. So if the standard is, as the Shach told us, right, that the Rambam feels it's also, if it's derech taiva v'chibas bia, something that leads to gili arai, something that's personal, something that's, you know, intimate, that's not shaking hands in a professional environment. So Rabbi Yosef could understand why there are those who felt that it's allowed. Yet, nonetheless, Rabbi Yosef writes, "Lamaisa kasha lismaychaze." That's his language. "Lamaisa kasha lismaychaze." He says it is difficult to rely on this. That's his language. It's difficult to rely on this. Why is it difficult to rely on this? Because Rabbi Yosef was aware of the very real slippery slope, that one thing could lead to another and lead to another, and therefore, if you permit this, I think the same concern as the Nidberu. He's not saying it's Yarek Val Yavar. He's saying he understands why there are those who are lenient and where they're coming from, and maybe it's well-grounded in the language of the Rambam, but it's a dangerous thing to do. So Moshe doesn't allow it. He understands where it's coming from based on the Shach, but he doesn't allow it. L'maisa. However, there are many Paiskim who do allow it. If not, Bechsav, it is Torah Shabbal Peh. Many Paiskim, if you ask them, many contemporary Paiskim from lots of different camps. I believe that is the common custom, even amongst very frum people in the professional environment, is that they will certainly respond to someone who sticks their hand out to shake their hand. They will respond. And based on this, even though L'Sikav L'Galas Erva prohibits Chibuk V'Nishik and other forms of touching, that's only if it's Derech Taiva V'Chibas Bia. And here it can be, here it's not Derech Taiva V'Chibas Bia, it's professional, might even be mechanical, right? It's just a greeting. And therefore, you know, they do permit it. They bring another, you know, kind of smach to this, a support to it, from a Talmud Yushalmi Masechta Saita. If I turn the page, Yushalmi discussed Masechta Saita, the Mincha Saita. The Mincha Saita was a carbon brought by the Isha Saita that had required Hanafa, required waving in different directions. And she had to do so together with the Kohen. But how are you going to have two people do Hanafa on the same carbon Mincha? So the Yushalmi says, no problem, let the Kohen put his hand underneath her hand. So Yushalmi says, what? He's going to touch her hand? The Kohen? Eina Dover Kir? Isn't that inappropriate? So Yushalmi says, no problem, maybe Mapa, take a cloth and put it in between their hands. So Yushalmi says, you can't do that. It's chaitzetz between his hand and her hand. There's a chatzitza, there's a barrier. You can't have that. In Hanafa, you have to touch the carbon itself. So says the Yushalmi, maybe Kohen Zaken, either bring an old Kohen, who doesn't have a Yetzara anymore, or even a young Kohen, but Ein Yetzara Matzi L'sha. The Yetzara doesn't attack a person for that moment when they're doing Hanafa, particularly in front of a large crowd in the Beis HaMikdash in public. You don't have to be concerned with the Yetzer on that moment. Rav Avia Yosef in the Yabi Omer actually cites this with regards to Chuppas Nida, that we usually try and arrange in advance with the, you know, pills and other cycles, that the time of a wedding, the Kala should not be a Nida. Because if the Kala is a Nida, it creates lots of problems in terms of Yichud after the Chuppah. They're going to go into a room by themselves. Chassan is not allowed to be Misyachid with his Kala if she's a Nida, because they haven't had relations yet. A husband can be misyachid with his wife after they have had relations, because it's pas pasaloi. They've been together before, but have never been together before, so the chatzin is not allowed to be misyachid with his kala. So it creates problems for yichud, and certainly after the wedding, where they're going to go after the wedding, they can't go home together. It's a big nuisance. But the other problem is, how is he going to put the ring on her finger? She's a nida. So the Be'er Heitev, of course, the name of the Ma'aril, he has to drop the ring into her hand. She sticks out her hand, and he drops, and that's going to be like a commotion at the wedding. He's going to drop her hand, the ring into her hand. He's trying to keep the nida something discreet, and over here he is dropping the ring into her hand. That's Be'er Heitev, of course, the name of the Ma'aril. The Be'er Heitev himself disagrees, and he says, nah, what are you afraid of? Passing things one to the other, that's one of the things that a husband and his wife, while she's a nida, don't do. As one of the harchakis is they don't pass things one to the other. So he's going to pass the ring and put it on her finger. Yeah, but the harchakis between the husband and his wife, that only begins after marriage. After marriage, they can't pass things one to another. A single man can pass something to a single, you know, woman, even though she's an either. You can pass things back and forth. It's only between a husband and wife because they have an intimate relationship. Start passing things back and forth. It could lead to something, you know, greater. It could lead to relations while she's an either. So they don't pass things one, you know, back and forth. But here, the harchakas begin after the wedding. This is, before, you know, they're in the middle of the wedding. But what about the fact that he might touch her finger at the time? So the Be'er Heitev says, well, that's inadvertent. Even if it happens, it's inadvertent. However, the Rabbi Avadi Yosef says, no, well, I'll do you one better. He says, if he touches her finger, it's in this big crowd and everyone's watching, Ein Yetzahara Matzei L'shah. There's no Yetzahara in that one instant when he by accident touches her finger. They have to be concerned with this issue. So similar thing we could say over here, you give a professional environment. There were some who suggested if the other party sticks out their hand to return with like a dead fish, like a limp hand. The problem is that, first of all, you haven't accomplished what you sought to accomplish. People assess you based on your handshake. They want to see you're in control of a situation. You can be able to be, you know, firm and you're responsible. And if you give a dead fish, it comes across as like you're a limp, you're not going to be a good employee. It doesn't give the right impression. But more than that, it's if you give a firm handshake, that implies more something more professional, more distant, more you know, removed from anything that could be intimate. You know, to show that it's professional, to give a firm handshake. So others said just the opposite. What you should do is give a firm handshake to show that it's something that's professional. It's not derech taiva chibas bia at all, even though it is friendly. It might be even affectionate, but it's certainly not something that's passionate. And the way that you demonstrate that is by giving a firm handshake. Now that doesn't mean, so, and we understand where that's coming from. You know, Ein Yetzirah Matzav, you know, Ba'is Hashah, and that one instant when they're shaking hands, and it's not there. We understand where it's coming from. There are many poskim who are lenient about this, if not Bechsav, at least Baal Peh. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's carte blanche to go around shaking other people's hands, gratuitous, you know, just go around shaking people's hands of the opposite gender for no reason. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Chof Aleph, Siv Zayin, that even with regards to the Arayas where there's no Yetzahara, a person, sister, an aunt, you're not supposed to go around hugging and kissing them. If it's a parent to a child, or even a grandparent to a child, a grandchild, then it is permitted. But otherwise, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if there is no Yetzahara, with regards to these individuals, going to Chaysa Gdoyle of Achis Oviv, your older sister or aunt, even though there is no hanoa here, it is not passionate, it is not lustful. Nonetheless, this is distasteful, highly distasteful. Three condemnations here. Vidavar iser, and prohibited. Umaisa tipshim, and it's foolish. So it sounds like it's highly objectionable. If not, but not a prohibition of osikav legalos ever, because it's not derech taiva v'chibas bia, even though it is affectionate, could be a hug and a kiss, but it's not lustful, it's not passionate, so it's not losikav legalos erva. Nonetheless, it's wrong. Maguna b'yoyser, maisa tipshim, it's foolish. And this was already discussed by the Gemara. I look back in the Gemara in Shabbos and Gimel Medalef over here, Oiz Beis. The Gemara says that Ula used to kiss his sister when he greeted her. But the Gemara says that statement that we have in the name of Ula, used to kiss his sister, pliga di day adi day, goes against something else that Ula told us, that he told us, afilu shum karva asa, you shouldn't come close to any one of the arayos, even if it's not strictly prohibited, because you shouldn't come close to any, you know, being megala erva. You should make a boundary, you should make a precaution. Like we tell the nazir, who's not allowed to drink wine, don't walk on the block where there's a vineyard, don't walk on the block where there's a, where they produce wine, lech amri nazira schar the karma loisikwav. Don't come close to the vineyard. Not only don't drink wine, don't even touch the grapes. Don't go on the block where it is, lest you come to violate the iser of drinking wine. So to here, Ula told us, don't even come close. So it sounds like even hugging and kissing, which is not passionate, which is not lustful, is wrong because it can lead to, you know, to negative things. So a husband, a father and a daughter, a mother and a son, even a grandparent to a grandchild, that's important for the emotional stability of the child. That's allowed. But for these other relationships where it's not necessary, it sounds like it's wrong. Does this mean it's an isa derabanan to do it? So some say yes. Even if it's not derech taiva chibas bia, it's an isa derabanan. Rav Moshe writes, he doesn't think that it's an isa midrabanan. Because if it would be an isa midrabanan, so then you'd only be allowed to go to a doctor, even though it's not derech taiva chibas bia, if you really needed it, if the person was sick, and you have the right to violate an isa derabanan. The person, the chayu sheyesh basakonim, the right to violate an isa derabanan. Moshe says, we don't find that kind of limitation. We go to doctors all over the place, indiscriminately, without stipulating that it has to be dafka chayle and a chayle sheyesh was a kind of chayle sheyesh was a kind of chayle. Moshe says, we're not dealing with an isim. Some place can think it's asim in the Rabbanon. Moshe says, he doesn't think it's an isim in the Rabbanon. Moshe says, what it is highly distasteful, and we should avoid it if it's gratuitous, meaning if it's not necessary. So if it's not necessary, why are you doing it? Why are you hugging your aunt? Explain to your aunt that we don't do this. Explain to your older sister, we don't do this. There isn't a need for it. There isn't, you know, it isn't something that's, you know, it's entirely gratuitous. So therefore, you know, it cannot be allowed. So it sounds like from here that, you know, shaking hands, yes, that can be allowed in a professional environment if there's a need for it. If it's entirely gratuitous, so then, you know, it's not something that should be allowed. So it's only if there's a need. So that's why some places can say you should only respond if someone else sticks out your hand. So then there's a need. Okay, so professional environment, then you do it professionally. Not b'derech tayv v'chibas bia, firm handshake that's brief. So then you should respond. To initiate, some places can feel it's wrong. Why are you initiating? Why are you starting it? Why are you going over to people to do it when it's not necessary? So someone told me it's an interesting svara. No, because if you don't initiate a handshake, they might embrace you. They might do a hug, right? Because some people hug each other as a greeting now. So the handshake is a way of saying, you know, you stay over there, I'm going to stay over here, we're just going to shake hands. So a handshake might preempt the hug. That you have to know, I don't know if that's true in all different, I don't know if hugs are really permitted, really, in the professional environment. I would think that would be frowned upon. But if that is a, you know, an area of concern, yeah, so sometimes a handshake might be wise to even initiate in order to prevent something else from happening. I don't know, but it seems to me, let's say someone else sticks out their hand, and I refuse to shake their hand. So is that embarrassing for them or embarrassing for me? So we assume, well, it's embarrassing, you know, for them, and therefore, because of the, you know, the, in order not to embarrass them, and now there's a need, so I should shake their hand. I should return that. Maybe even if it was an Issa Darabanan to shake hands, it should be permitted because of Kavod HaBrios. I don't want to insult them. And when it comes to Kavod HaBrios, you can violate sometimes the Issurim Darabanan. I don't know. It seems to me that if I don't shake their hand, and the custom is in that place, you know, part of the world to shake hands, even amongst genders, you know, crossing genders, and I don't, it's embarrassing for me. I look weird. They look normal, right? They stuck out their hand. They did what's normal. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to shake your hand. So then it seems to me to be, you know, maybe I'm embarrassing myself. But then someone else said, someone else told me, I think it's a good svara too, that no, it's because it seems like I'm better than you. Like, I don't want to touch you. Like, you have something wrong with you. So maybe that's, not that I don't know the customs, but it seems like I'm devaluing you as a person by the fact that I won't shake your hand. So maybe.
It's more accepted now just because of COVID. It's changed the last couple of years.
That people also accepted not to shake hands. Okay.
I don't know. I haven't been in, like, the office, but I'm
assuming. I'm told it hasn't changed. I'm told it's all back.
Germ conscious now, I think.
Yeah, so if you can get away with a COVID-sensitive person, but then you got to be consistent on that. You better be the mask guy, you can't go out to eat, you know. You better be consistent on your COVID sensitivity. And I'm not sure how much longer that's really going to last. Yeah. There are other related issues, though, to shaking hands that are affectionate gestures, but not passionate and lustful. And there, it seems like more paiskim, even, you know, it's a handshake. A lot of paiskim don't really, you know, don't acknowledge the need. They say, well, avoid it, come up with other strategies to avoid it. Those who are a little bit more involved in the business world seem to understand, oh, it's unavoidable, and there are, it is necessary. But it seems to be everyone kind of agrees that this is not derech tayva v'chibas bia, even though there is some sort of affection, you know. The stipler, you know, doesn't seem to acknowledge that. It seems to assume that this is yahar v'yavar. But for those who, you know, there are many who would assume, as Rabbi Shah said, he understands where it's coming from, that it's not called derech tayva v'chibas bia. It's not passionate. It's not lustful, even though it is affectionate. And therefore, you know, it could be allowed. They just, you know, the question is, what is the circumstances dictate and where is this going to lead? And that, those are all important questions. But this does play out in other related areas. For example, let's say you have a woman who's a chayla and she's in labor, or some other chayli, and her mental state requires her husband to hold her hand, to be mechazik her. So the Chuvin, the Lev Arye, that's Dayan Grosnas from London, where he argues that, that's the husband to hold her hand while she's in labor. It's not derech tayva v'chibas bia, it's not passionate, it's always to be mechazik her. And if the doctors say that her mental state requires it, so then he's willing to be lenient. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, has a response to Dayan Grosnas. He was asked by Rabbi Grosnas to respond, and he disagrees. He says, no, this cannot be allowed. He said the doctor can take care of the patient. It might even be permitted for the doctor to hold her hand, or a male nurse to hold her hand. But for the husband to hold her hand, he he doesn't think is permitted unless she's a chayli sheyesh boy sakana. There's some sort of, you know, the, her mental state is at a breaking point, or, you know, she's suicidal. So then, you know, maybe, you know, it could be permitted for the husband. But otherwise, even though it's not there, chayv chibos bia, he seems to acknowledge that. He, you know, is not permitted, you know, willing to permit it for the husband. He does write over here that Dr. Abraham in the Nishmas Avram writes over here, he heard from Rabbi Neuwirth that if the doctor or even a male nurse needs to sometimes hold the patient's hand in order to, you know, to strengthen them and to stabilize them during a procedure, it is allowed. Even though that is, right, a friendly gesture. It's not medically required. They do seem to allow it. So again, here the circumstances, everyone would acknowledge the circumstances dictate that it's necessary, so it's somewhat different than the handshake, and that's why people, you know, some of the Pesachim seem to be a little bit more open to it, but the husband doing it, Dine Wise wasn't open to it, and I understand why. The husband's going to hold her hand during labor, so then they're going to end up, you know, afterwards interacting together with one another, even though she's a nida as a result of giving birth. So I understand, we understand where he's coming from. Dine Grosnas did allow it. He assumed it's not there. Taiva chibas bia. The wife requires it. Maybe she's a chayosh yesh b'sakana. Maybe she's a chayosh ein b'sakana. He was permitted, willing to permit the husband to hold her hand, even though she's only chayosh ein b'sakana. Another related area where this comes up, and it's you know, more and more common today, is with regards to stepchildren and blended families. Can a stepmother raise, hug and kiss, her husband's son, who's not a biological child, or an adopted child, who's not a biological child, but for all intents and purposes, this is the child's mother. Are they allowed to hug and kiss and touch one another? So that was a big discussion with regards to yichud. Can they be mesiachet together one with the other if it's not a biological child? So Rav Moshe is not willing to be meikel on yichud, but Rav Moshe says chibuk v'nishuk is easier to be meikel on. Because chibuk v'nishuk, the Rambam holds, is only us if it's derech taiva v'chibas bia, if it's lustful and passionate. And here, it's caring and affectionate, you know, the step-parent, but it's not passionate or lustful. And therefore, Moshe seems to entertain the possibility that perhaps it could be allowed. We understand where he's coming from. It's Tzitzel Eliezer, that's Rabbi Waldenberg, who was meikel with regards to yichud on adopted children, presumably on stepchildren too. If they were adopted or they became, there was a second marriage while the child was very young. This is, you know, they grew up with this person as their parent or their grandparent. If, a person's father remarries when they're in, they already have their own family, you know, when he's 40 years old, his father remarries, as a step, and the new wife becomes his stepmother, he cannot then at that point be hugging and kissing his stepmother. He only got to know her when he's 40. If he grew up with her, this is someone who he engaged with in his youth as a maternal figure, as a grandparent figure, so then the Tzitzel Eliezer feels that Yichud is permitted, or might should disagree about that, but they agree upon the fact that Chibuk v'nishuk, that point should be allowed, because it's, even though it is affectionate, it is caring, it's not something which is lustful or passionate. The Chuvas von Huggis, that's a Sternbach over here, quotes that he heard like that from Ramesha, he heard like that B'Shem Ramesha, that there was a certain individual who thought that his mother, you know, all the years that he grew up, was his biological mother. His father revealed to him later on in life that she's not his biological mother, his real mother, you know, is somehow not in the picture anymore, and this was a woman that he married in his youth. They used to keep these things secret. Now every day, everybody knows these things. But they used to keep these things secret. So he writes that he asked the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said that once he found out it's not his biological mother, he's not allowed to hug and kiss her anymore. In fact, it would be a harik val yavur to do so. So Chazon Ish is pretty consistent that any kind of affectionate touching, beyond that which the doctor, is already derech chiba and would be a harik val yavur. Handshaking too. So we understand that he's machmir here as well. However, he quotes it that he asked Ramesha, and Ramesha permitted it as long as it's done in a way that shows that it's affectionate and caring way, but not in any kind of lustful or passionate way. Then it would be allowed, in those kinds of settings. And there are many poskim in blended families, adopted children, stepchildren, and all these kinds of things that do permit these things. Again, not gratuitously, but when there's a need, right? The person grew up with this individual as their paternal parent figure or grandparent figure, and there is emotional support that they can provide to this individual, so then it really can be very important, and therefore, you know, it can be allowed. This is, based on this similar argument, but really much, much better than this, is the argument that Ramesha makes about traveling on the subway or a bus. Let's say a person is going to travel on a subway or a bus, or on an airplane, for that matter, and inevitably, it's so crowded, or the seats are too tight together, and he ends up sitting next to someone of the opposite gender and touching them. So that's a very different situation. First of all, the touching is inadvertent, right? It's not even intentional. That's much better than shaking hands or all these other things we've been discussing. But you have the fact that it's not, even if you do touch, it's not derech taiva of a chibas bia. It's not even derech chiba at all. It's not affection at all. It's inadvertent. So Moshe says to get on a crowded subway, to get on a crowded bus, certainly is allowed. If a person knows that he has hirurim, okay, so you have to do your best to ignore what's around you. And that's, you know, part of the challenge of life in general. So to control a person's desires. So you have to control your thoughts and control what you're exposed to. So Moshe said, you know, do your best to control your, you know, to tune it out. But it is, strictly speaking, permitted to get on a subway or a bus, even though you're going to sit down next to someone and, you know, you might touch them inadvertently, or you might bump into them as the subway rocks back and forth. It would all be permitted. There, look, but you know, some people are more sensitive to the their environment, either, you know, and want to take extra precautions. Amidas chasidus. So if someone wants to take amidas chasidus, sometimes I'm uncomfortable sitting next to someone on an airplane, even of the same gender, right? It's just if so, the person isn't acting normally, and one can envision lots of circumstances where, from people, might be uncomfortable sitting next to someone else, and certainly of the opposite gender. And if a person, you know, wants to engage in that kind of midas chasidus, many poskim who encourage that, so then plan for it in advance and make sure you don't make a chil Hashem in the process, you know, of switching seats as the plane is about to take off. They hold up the plane because of the frum guy who wants to switch seats. Either get a first class seat or buy a seat on the aisle or fly with someone else who is, you know, fly together with your wife or something who you can sit over there and won't be uncomfortable. Figure it out in advance, chacham eino b'roish, instead of making a scene at the time, because strictly speaking, maker, then it is permitted. It is permitted as long as it's inadvertent, and a person should do his best to tune out everything that's around them. But Ramosha writes, even though this is all true, right? Touching is only us, derech taiva chibas bia, and if it's inadvertent, you should, or even if you see things which are inappropriate, you should do your best to tune it out. Ramosha writes, there's no heter based on all of these things, you know, to engage in, you know, mixed dancing and all that. That is Ramosha writes, that is derech taiva chibas bia. One thing does lead to the other, even though it might be very formal dancing. Dancing is not just affectionate. It could be passionate, it could be lustful, or certainly even to go to an area. Yes, it's permitted to be on a subway, you know, to go to work, because you have no other way of getting to work. But to stop, walk in an area where everyone's dressed inappropriately and expose yourself to that kind of environment for no reason at all, you know, vacation in somewhere else where people do dress appropriately. We don't have to be exposed to that. So look, part of it is just walking around in the world in the summertime, you know, you see things that we would rather not see. But we do our best to control our environment. So yes, it is true. You can tune it out if you have no other choice, right? Going on the subway, that's not gratuitous. You need to go to work. You need to, you know, so if by accident you bump into someone, it's all permitted. But if a person can avoid it, he's going on vacation, he can plan to go on vacation to a place where people do dress appropriately, or stay away from the places where people dress inappropriately, or do his best to avoid it, so then a person has to do the best to avoid it and to control his environment as best he can. But these are, you know, for when it is necessary, when a person does need to go to a doctor, who does need to go to work, so, you know, people do find themselves in professional settings where they feel that they do need to shake hands. So then, you know, it's important to keep in mind that you know, the limitations of this prohibition of a sikra v'legal l'seva.